Declan Rice runs now, hits it right footed. Oh! Rice, baby! Oh my word! Two absolute belters! Right footed, top right hand corner. Arsenal lead Real Madrid by 2-0.
Unbelievable.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFello.
Hello.
Yes, all three of us here this week. It's only about a month or so left of the season now, but it's all getting very, 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 very intense. Every game seems to matter. Well, not in the Premier League. I mean, it's all getting a bit ho-hum, isn't it, really? Everyone knows who's going down. Everyone knows who's going to win the title. But the battle for fifth place goes on, doesn't it, guys? The battle for fifth. Now, it is confirmed that fifth place is going to be a Champions League place next season. Ah, Terry, five Champions League places. It's too much to take in, isn't it?
You know, once upon a time, I used to really get... I was like, yeah, come on, English leagues. Yeah, yay, English leagues for the win. And now it's like, well, okay. But yeah, I know. I mean, battle for the fifth. I can get on board with that. I can get excited about the fight to finish in fifth place in a league table.
Yes, yes. Well, you've got to be excited about something, haven't we? Yeah. As we've been saying for the last month or so, it's going to be thin gruel at the end of the season. But we can get excited about the battle for European places, can't we?
Yeah, I think so. Chelsea kind of lost their way a bit this season. They could catch up a bit with that, but finishing fifth, City, though they're probably going to win the FA Cup. But a chance to kind of make up for some of the shortcomings they've enjoyed this season. But yeah, I mean, it's so dull at both ends that I'm glad there is something to play for there.
Yes, and it is tight between Forest in third and Villa in seventh. There are only three points separating the five teams there. So three of those will definitely be in the Champions League, you would imagine, and two of those will miss out. But who knows? There are certainly some twists and turns left in the season as far as that's concerned. But what about when they get there? What about when they get into Europe? Are they going to do anything? So this week, we're actually going to talk about the European quarterfinals, how they're poised, what we've got to look forward to this week, because they're all being played this week, and who's going to go on and eventually win those titles. So we've still got two English clubs left in the Champions League. One of them's almost through to the next round. One's got a lot of work to do. And then in the Europa League, things aren't looking so sunny. And then in the Conference League, Chelsea are carrying the banner. They look like they're cruising all the way to beat Fiorentina in the final. That's how the competition works. So let's start off with the Champions League. The game last week where the Premier League earned its fifth Champions League place was the game between Arsenal and Real Madrid. Arsenal women beat Real Madrid 3-0 at the Emirates just a couple of weeks ago, and the men did exactly the same this week with two goals from Declan Rice. Direct from free kick. It was just an astounding evening of football, wasn't it, Terry?
Yeah, they call him Dead Ball Rice. That's what they call him. They've always called him that, but yeah, only on the training ground. But now he's made it real. He's made it real. He's now a dead ball specialist, Declan Rice. They were immaculate, really, weren't they? Particularly the first one was, oh, my Lord, what a goal. Like all followers of European football, I found that performance against Real Madrid to be a very complete performance by Arsenal, hugely impressive, and a bit of a surprise that Real Madrid kind of caved. But then at the same time, it's kind of been a little bit on the cards for Real Madrid because they have played in matches. I mean, like last season, they managed to get through against City over two legs in the semi-final, didn't they? And you just thought, how has this happened exactly? You spent most of both legs sitting on your asses, stopping the ball from being played. I felt that maybe Real Madrid have been relying too much on their pedigree. You know, it's hugely impressive that Arsenal were able to turn up for this game and actually finish Real Madrid off and beat them like the deadbeat losers that they are for once, rather than caving, which I think a lot of clubs do, a lot of teams do. They just like see them and go, oh my God, it's Real Madrid, and just cave. But I think Arsenal are to be congratulated for finishing them off in the way that they did, bearing in mind, of course, that there's still another 90-odd minutes to play, and it is not out of the question at the Bernabeu on magic nights like we see for them to turn this around. But we will see. What do you think, Graham? Are you... Well, actually, I don't know whether you're the right person to ask this, because you're probably going to say, oh, no, nothing's decided yet. Maybe Jan's probably the right person to ask about this, but I feel it is still just about in the balance, because an early goal in the second leg can put the shits up any team, particularly at the Bernabeu.
Can I just say that on our WhatsApp group, that's exactly what Graham did say. And that's not even a lie. I'm not even saying that for comedic effect. That actually happened. So from my point of view, I'd love to see Arsenal go through. And just to point on Declan Rice, he is an absolutely fantastic player. I saw him play actually live against Palace, in the flesh live. He didn't start the game, but he came on into the second half. And what a presence that guy has. I didn't realise how statuesque he is. And he certainly dominated the game as soon as he came on. So seeing him do as well as he did against Real was, it was gratifying. He's a fine, fine talent. But I think that Graham is right. There's still a little while to go. But it's going to be really interesting. I mean, Real Madrid have to just go for it. And it'll be interesting to see how Arteta will set up Arsenal to be able to absorb that kind of relentless pressure. They've got great players going forward, Madrid, haven't they? So it's just going to be a brilliant tie. It's got to be one to watch, definitely.
Well, I guess the key to what Real Madrid do in this is to what extent they can upset the Arsenal players on the day. Because I think that we're looking at weapons-grade shithousery here in order to get some kind of edge. They don't have the great shithouses that they used to have anymore. They are diminished in that respect. It's absolutely vital that Arsenal maintain their tactical discipline. They don't get drawn into any kind of ruckuses and then just focus on, keeping Real Madrid out. Knowing Carlo, he'll spend the first like 20 minutes doing nothing. Just to sort of say, oh, what's he doing? Why isn't he attacking? And then it'll ramp up the pressure there. He'll be waiting to see if Arsenal can make a mistake. Yeah, it's in the balance. If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be pooing my pants because I'd be so worried about the trauma of blowing a 3-0 lead in the second leg. But only Real Madrid, I think, are the teams that can do this to other teams, just like stare at them and try and psych them out. But Arsenal got some tremendous professionals by now, and they're not inexperienced and they're no mugs, and they really should see this through.
Yeah, personally, I think if we were going to Barcelona or to Bayern, then I'd be a bit more worried. As it is, I don't think that the team has the baggage of going to Real like, say, Liverpool would. We've not had our fingers burnt by Real Madrid in recent... Well, at all, really. Unlike the other teams that have really pushed for the Champions League, like City as well. So where you think, no, they're going to find a way. But I thought that in the first leg. I thought that Real were going to find a way back into the tie because it just looked like they were just being able to keep out constant pressure. There was constant pressure in periods of the second half. We had two shots cleared off the line. Courtois pulled out a couple of cracking saves. And in the end, it did take three absolute worldies to win that game because Mourinho's goal was amazing as well. So you've got these three goals that were required just to get this comfort. But I do think that Arteta will have it in him to play the game rather than the occasion. Yes, they will attempt to try and bring it down. They tried to bring it down in the first leg and they just ended up getting a player sent off, their own one. So I think you're right, Terry. I think they're not as good as they were at the shithousery. And if anyone saw Mbappe's red card at the weekend, you'll see that they're not that good at it either. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if there's another red card in the next leg, because I think things could get really, really ugly as far as the atmosphere is concerned in the ground. and just the way the Real Madrid players approach that game. They're 4 points behind Barcelona in the league as well. They got away with a win yesterday after Mbappe got sent off. The referee very kindly levelled it up with a red card for both sides, just to make sure that there wasn't anyone thinking that he was anti-Real Madrid or anything. So I'm very confident that Arsenal can go through. But, you know, there's still a little thing inside that went, yeah, goal in the first 10 minutes. Who knows? Who knows? What I want it to be is I want it to be as boring as Whiteleaf's second leg in their semi-final, the FA Vars. That was very, very dull. Whiteleaf won 1-0, and I think Arsenal will win 1-0 as well. There you go. That's what I've said.
Predictions.
Predictions, eh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Predictions are back, baby.
I think we can get away with predictions come this part of the season. But, of course, they're not the only English club in the Champions League. We've got Aston Villa. Aston Villa against PSG going into that second leg at Villa Park, but they are 3-1 down. Played really well in the first leg, scored the first goal, pretty much against the run of play. PSG look really good, though, don't they, Jan?
They certainly did. But just before I go on about how amazing PSG were, John McGinn, who is a kind of meat and potatoes footballer, I think it's fair to say, but he's very good. He's like your granny's meat and potatoes, like delicious, amazing. He looked like a world beater at times in that game. I mean, he broke up PSG's play to well, he didn't directly set up Rodgers' goal, but I mean, he was instrumental in that happening. So, yeah, it's good to see players that sometimes fly under the radar doing really well there. So well done, John McGinn. But yes, PSG, the speed and pace that they were moving around and moving the ball around in that game was, I have to say, breathtaking. It really was amazing to watch. You know, they've had something of a hoodoo in the Champions League, but if they continue playing like that, they'll blow anyone away. Mm. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, the result finishing as it did 3-1 was, I mean, that could have been a lot worse. Villa are a fine side, don't get me wrong. And I hope they can turn around because I quite like Villa. And, you know, I don't want to rule out getting a knighthood in the future. And, you know, the future king is a Villa fan. As I always have been, as anyone will tell you, I've always been a big fan of Villa. Anyone will tell you that. Again, just like I said about the Arsenal game, just from a, you know, just from an entertainment point of view, it'd be good to see Villa do something at home. But having seen PSG, the way they performed in the last leg, I think anybody's going to struggle to contain them. They looked so good.
Mm. Yeah, Terry, the whole thing about Unai Emery going back to play PSG didn't really come together in the end, did it? PSG really dominated that game, despite going a goal down.
Yeah, we got the whole Unai Emery narrative and saying it was all about him, but actually it wasn't. PSG, I think, have got their own narrative this season, haven't they? The narrative being is that they have forsaken the whole Galactico approach in general, in the broadest possible sense. They've forsaken that whole Galactico process and they've signed players and developed players that maybe for whom the heart beats stronger and louder for the club. There's a purpose about them as well. They look like a team capable of winning this title, even though technically, you know, they may have been actually better PSG sides, PSG sides with better players in them than they have now. But this is certainly, you know, the best PSG team that there's been in a very long time. Much depends on Villa Park, I think, and on the Villa Park crowd and how engaged they are in this match. I wouldn't want to rule out Villa, even though they're veterans in the European Cup, but they are novices in the Champions League. But they've got enough pros about them, I think, to be able to overturn this. But they would have to, I think, overwhelm PSG and cow them. And my instinct is that this PSG side have the robustness, I think, to be able to do this. I agree with Sir Jan. They've been superb this season. And I think that they're genuine contenders to win the final this time around if they can make it. I think there's a good chance that they could go all the way, notwithstanding anything that Villa might have to say about it. They're in a really, really good place. I kind of hope they do it. Ooh. But at the same time, I'm kind of not really sure. I'm not angling for the knighthood that Sir Jan is.
Just for the record, I said that was a joke and I would refuse a knighthood if it was offered to me.
Yeah, right.
I definitely wouldn't turn it down.
He's a liar. None of us would. We'd all concoct reasons why it was actually helpful for the revolution for us to accept this honour.
Absolutely, yeah. You can only smash capitalism from within.
From within, comrades. Yeah. And that's Sir Terry from now on. Thank you.
Yeah, PSG, I mean, they do look frightening going forward at the moment. That's what you get when you just allow Kvaratskhelia to really play, isn't it? And because that's when he's at his best, when everyone's just piling forward and you pass to him and he passes at full speed. It is phenomenal watching him play. He has been their key signing, I think. And yeah, it's great having Ousmane Dembele coming out and playing well, isn't it, Terry?
Ousmane Dembele?
You're
right, he is. He's been amazing, to be fair. And he's had a difficult time since leaving Dortmund. I don't think it's a coincidence that PSG's rise has coincided with Dembele's rise as well.
Well, let's have a look at what the other semi-final could be about then. We've got, Dortmund, Terry. Dortmund, they're not coming back from that, are they? No matter what the yellow wall does to try and rouse them against Barcelona, but 4-0 down going into the second leg. That is all over. Early goal or no?
Yeah, I can't see anyone in the Dortmund side who's really got the ability to take control of the game in the way that Barcelona have players that can do, which is what happened in that first leg. I mean, that was pretty comprehensive and difficult to argue with. Dortmund bounced back quite nicely in the game against Bayern, actually. I think responded quite nicely. But I'd be really surprised if Dortmund were able to make any kind of impact. I mean, even if they were to get on the score sheet in that game, I'd still feel that, you know, the way that Barcelona are, and certainly, you know, under their coach, who's by this point, Hansi Flick, is well versed on how to win games at this stage of this competition. I'd be really surprised if we got anything there. I don't think there's a great deal of further analysis to offer there. It would be a complete shock if Dortmund were to be in the semi-final after this.
Were you that surprised by the Bayern score, losing at home to Inter?
I was surprised, yes, but not very surprised, because Bayern have demonstrated that they can give up goals. I think they're going to win the Bundesliga, but they've not dominated games. They've conceded goals. They've lost to Bochum. They've conceded goals to St. Pauli. You know, they conceded a goal to Augsburg. Bayern should normally be, at this stage of the season, be pretty much imperious. But this season, last season, and the season before, they've not been as great as they have been in the past. So I think that's a reality of Bayern right now. So I was a little bit surprised, but only a little bit, as I said, to find that that's happened. I freely acknowledge that I don't really know a great deal about Inter and about Serie A, but my impression from what I see is that Inter are a very, very good side. So I don't think you can be overly surprised when a result like that happens. It's not, you know, in the grand scheme, whether you look at it, you know, it's unusual for Bayern to lose a home leg, and they really do have a great deal of work to do if they're going to make that through to the second leg, because I would imagine that Inter will be super, super professional at the San Siro.
So, Jan, what's your call for the final? Who do you think's playing in that final?
No surprise after what I just said about PSG that I think that they'll get through to the final. But saying that, seeing as they have to overcome Arsenal on the way to the final, that makes it even more interesting. Can't really give you an answer, Graham. You know, Arsenal are brilliant, PSG are brilliant. Barcelona are doing well domestically and obviously did very well against Dortmund. They're all good sides going into the semis, aren't they?
They're all good sides. They're all good sides, Terry. But who do you think the final's going to be?
They're not all good sides, but most of them are good sides. I do think that PSG's route to the final has a significant block in that semi-final. I think either Arsenal or Real Madrid, whoever emerges victorious there, is going to be very, very difficult to overcome, and I wouldn't like to say. I feel that PSG are deserving of winning the Champions League, but yeah, they're not the only ones. I feel in my bones that somehow the day belongs to PSG. Mm. I've just got a vibe. I've got a PSG vibe. And I have seen them a few times on the telly, obviously, during the Champions League campaign, and I've been very impressed with them. And my worry about Arsenal is that they run out of steam ever so slightly, if they're depending on what happens against Real Madrid. But these are all vibey opinions. And the reality is it's impossible to know who would win a semi-final, especially over two legs between those two teams. I think the other side of the draw is probably slightly easier to work out. I think we're probably looking at a Barcelona Inter semi-final. That one is going to be very, very difficult. That is kind of a bit of a, you know, chalk and cheese, who knows. But I think that is something Inter could do.
Mm.
I think that if it was between Inter and Barcelona, I think unless Barcelona completely blitz and blow Inter away in the way that they blew away Dortmund, I think that Inter could fashion a win over two legs against that Barcelona side.
This Inter side have been really good in the Champions League all the way through, so that's actually quite a good call. Well, let's move on from the Champions League and let's go on to the Europa League. A little bit more up in the air, this one. We don't have to add some jeopardy to it, because jeopardy's there. Three of the ties ended in a draw. The only one that didn't was perhaps the most surprising result of the night, and that was Bode Glimt beating Lazio 2-0, which gave them one foot in the semi-finals. But who will they be facing when they go through? They are in the same half as Tottenham and Eintracht Frankfurt, and their first leg ended 1-1 in North London. Ange has got too much on his plate to actually do anything in this competition, isn't he now? Yeah, no, the pressure's on him, isn't he? He looks a broken man, doesn't he? How's he going to lift his side to win in Frankfurt to go on and face Bode Glimt in the semi-finals?
To be fair, Graham, Ange looked a broken man his first day at Spurs. I think that's just his face. He just looks broken. Lovely guy. Always been a fan. I mean, domestically, they are having a nightmare, and whether he's going to be there at the end of the season or even perhaps at the end of the week remains to be seen. Spurs are doing badly. But interestingly, on a sample of one, my cousin who supports Spurs, he quite likes Ange and wants him to stick around because he wants some consistency and continuity, which is apparently what Spurs need. And I don't disagree with that assessment. But yeah, I mean, Spurs are 15th domestically, and they could well be down in 17th come the end of the season. So it could well be that effectively their season comes to an end this week if they can't do something against Frankfurt. You know, given how poor that they've been, they were poor at the weekend against Wolves. Frankfurt are a good side, although Terry would probably tell you a lot more about them than I can. But can we really see Spurs, with the season they've had, with their heads hanging as they go towards the end of the domestic season, going on and winning the Europa League? It seems like it's a bridge too far for me. Things need to change at Spurs. We've devoted entire podcasts to what's going on there. If they progress and do well, it'll be papering over the cracks. Things need to change, not just on the pitch, as we know.
Mm. Terry, have they just hit a wall against Frankfurt? Are Frankfurt the best team left in that half of the draw?
Well, looking at the four there, I mean, I don't want to throw shade on Bode Glimt because they've done an amazing job, but I just do not know the Eliteserien at all. But they've clearly done an amazing job and to get to where they have got. But I have difficulty seeing past Frankfurt in that half of the draw. I think Eintracht is certainly, as a Bundesliga watcher, they're third in the table. They are one of the best teams in the Bundesliga. There may even be an argument to say that right now they are the best team in the Bundesliga because of the form that they're in. They have got some fantastic players. I mean, Hugo Ekitike is a player I think I referenced earlier in the season when Eintracht decided to sell Marmoush. It was like, well, it's fine because they got Ekitike, so they'll still be fine. They can trade out of the 50 million and carry on with Ekitike. And he had a bit of a barren spell, but he's come back to life just at the nick of time. I watched that Tottenham-Frankfurt game and thought it was actually quite an even contest. But my feeling is that in Eintracht, I think Spurs are going to have to bring a lot to overcome that. And Eintracht are not newbies in Europe. They are recently Europa League winners. They're winners of this competition. They're not mucking about. And so it's going to be a huge achievement if Ange can pull something off there, if Tottenham can pull something off there, a major, major achievement. And then, of course, their problems still continue because either way they skin it, they've then got to play either a very, very, very good Lazio side, a very tough Lazio side, or this Mercurial Bode Glimt side, which at the moment is what it's looking like. But yeah, that would be a very Spursy thing to happen, to overcome like a big European pedigree giant like Eintracht Frankfurt and then get knocked out by a Norwegian club in the semi-final. I know in a football sense that's deeply patronising, but from a Spursy sense, I think it's how it works, isn't it?
I don't think there is a single Spurs fan out there who wouldn't listen to that statement and see the truth looming over you. There aren't deluded Spurs fans out there, are there? I mean,
there might be people who deliberately take offence to it and just like say, "How dare you say something that resonates deeply within the core of every Spurs? How dare you see me, bloody filthy Croydon scum?" But they'd be right. I would say apologies to Bodø/Glimt fans, but they don't have any fans. Who am I kidding? They're a massively plastic club as well, and that would be even funnier. Well, sorry, that would be even more tragic if that was to happen. because Bodø/Glimt are just like this non-football club. They've done an amazing job, obviously, but in a very short space of time. But they are a manufactured construct, Bodø/Glimt.
I think you got it right first time, Terry. It would be funny.
It would be funny. Yeah, it would be funny.
The final this year is in Bilbao. So when you've got the hosts in the quarterfinals, it gets a bit real and you start thinking, well, it's made, isn't it? It's made for them to go on all the way. A home final to lift the trophy in. They dominated their first leg against Rangers, which they played against 10 men for most of it, but could not break through. They even had a penalty and that was saved. So they go into the second leg at home, at what will be the venue for the final, against Rangers, looking for a win. It's probably too much to ask for Rangers to actually turn it around. Who knows? At 0-0, anything could happen, couldn't it, Jan? Rangers, they've not really got much to aim at. The title race is very much over in Scotland. But something about the football gods like this sort of story. A rearguard home performance to get a 0-0 draw against the hosts of the final. Are they going to ruin everything? Are they going to ruin Bilbao's party, do you think?
Not in Bilbao. I don't think that's going to happen. No. Athletic Club are fourth in La Liga.
Yeah.
And Rangers are in the Scottish Premiership. I just can't. I mean, you know, cup competitions are great because they can throw out upsets. But I wouldn't be upset if Rangers got kicked out. So, yeah, my hope and my thought is that they'll go to Bilbao and get hammered.
Yeah, I don't know. I have got, it's got 1-0 Rangers, 0-1 Rangers, Haji 87, something like that.
Yeah.
About it. It's got that kind of vibe about it. I think you're right. I think that when you're the host of the competition and you're this close, there's perhaps a feeling of destiny. Dare I say even hubris? Uh-huh. And I'm not saying this is what will happen, but these are the things that Athletic have got to be mindful of. And again, they will say, I mean, like, you know, fortunately, I'm sure they won't think like you did, Sir Jan, because they will go, well, it's all right, lads, put your feet up. It's a Scottish team. They're rubbish. But this is the team that almost won the competition a few years ago as well, of course. They lost to Frankfurt in the final. So I think that there's definite upset potential going on here. On paper, this should be a home win. But football, guys.
But football. I mean, yeah, we didn't really see what Rangers could bring against Bilbao because they were down to 10 men after about a quarter of an hour. So we don't know how they're going to approach it. It will probably be another rear goal. There'll probably be a lot of counter-attacking going on there. But I don't know. I think the weight of expectation from Bilbao fans, it might sit heavy on them. So that's probably the pick of the ones to watch. If you want to watch a good tie and not just a load of chaos, which is what you're going to get in the other ones, I think. It probably won't happen. Bilbao will save their disastrous exit in this competition for another round, maybe. Losing to Man United in the semi-final. But yeah, I think a very fascinating tie, that one. But of course, yeah, that I have foreshadowed the last of the quarterfinals. Lyon, Man United ended 2-2. In Lyon. So it goes back to Old Trafford, the Theatre of Dreams. What do we call it now?
The Portal to Hell.
The Portal to Hell, yes. That's right, yeah. They're going to the Portal to Hell. Yeah, what do you think is going to happen there then, Jan?
It's so difficult with Man United because it felt like in recent weeks that they'd picked up somewhat. Although I think a lot of that was Bruno Fernandes was kind of lifting and carrying for the entire team, you know, such as his talent. But of course, they just fell apart yesterday against Newcastle. It just depends on which Man United turn up. They're almost in the same position as Tottenham are, really. Clear issues on the pitch, clear issues off the pitch, question marks over the manager, and still in a quarterfinal of a European tournament, bizarrely. But they're not there because they won the lottery. They're there because they've done well in previous rounds. So, you know, they've got the ability to do something. It just depends on which team turns up. It is really frustrating because I really wanted to see Ruben Aubameyang do well. And, you know, if he loses this again, as we said with Ange, it season's over for the club. And what's going to happen with him?
Terry, how do you think it's going to go down?
Well, I would like to see a semi-final between Athletic and Man United because I would just like to see a replay of that cracking Europa League. Was it quarterfinal from about 15 years ago now when a young Iker Muniain went to Old Trafford and conquered? I mean, I think you've got to look at Lyon and you've got to look at their form. They've lost two games in the last 12, 13 fixtures. They had a terrible, disastrous start to the season, but have risen to fourth in the Ligue 1 table. They are a form team, and I think they're going to be really, really tough to beat. And so, you know, football heads or like really does look towards Lyon being able to do something here. It might only be the prospect of perhaps the occasion overwhelming them, and I'm not altogether certain that that really works at Old Trafford now, at the portal, to be honest with you. I don't know. I feel that Manchester United can be lucky in competitions like this. And I think that that's what's going to be required to see that. But I mean, United need to bring just like a stack more cohesion to their game if they're going to be able to get past this. So it's very difficult to see. But at the same time, as we point out, this is a season defining game for United. It is in many ways, it's the last game of the season. So that's certainly the last meaningful game of the season if they lose it. So yeah, there's a lot riding on all of this. Both English teams in this competition. Thursday is a big, big, big day for both of these teams. And that's why I think it makes compelling viewing. Get you to, is it on at the same time? Because they're on at the same time. If they so, are, then it's like, it's double screening, guys. Double screening all the way.
We don't have to find a screen to watch Chelsea's game against Legia. That one's already over. Don't worry about that one. They are cruising to the final of the Conference League. Don't worry about that. But the Europa League, yeah, there is a lot of entertainment still to be had. Thrills and spills. And because we've got Spurs and United in there, and who knows? Who knows what they're going to bring? Well, they don't always bring the chaos. Sometimes they just bring the crap. And they're just awful. I think it's a nice thing to say that they bring the chaos because that gives you the impression that anything could happen. They could turn in an amazing performance and tear them apart. And I don't think amazing performances are what these teams are about anymore. They can pull out a good win occasionally, but yeah, it's more about how things fall on the day, isn't it, really? It would be brave for anyone to try and predict this competition now. I think the most level-headed person would probably say Frankfurt are the side. With the pedigree, as Terry said, the fact that they've won this competition recently, who knows, that could be the new Sevilla. But Europa League, anything can happen, and I think it will. There is a little bit in me that thinks, yeah, Athletic winning it at home might be quite sweet, but I don't think there's any place for sweet in this competition this year, is there?
No. I would like to see an Eintracht Lyon final and take the heat out of the whole situation there. That's why I want to see. Sorry about that for Athletic fans, because they're a great club, Athletic. And it would be amazing if they were to win it. Of course it would, at home. It would be truly amazing. Especially, you know, given the history of that club. And they've not won a great deal. But no, I want to see a French and German clash in San Sebastian. I think that would be amazing.
And the bells are ringing. The bells are ringing for it as well.
Well, it is happening then, isn't it? Yes, exactly, because the bells are heralding that my prediction through. And yeah.
Yeah, mine's and a nice anyway, night, please, leave Terry. Now.
For reasons I won't discuss. Please, mate.
Jan, give me hope that this competition isn't just going to be Man United versus Bode Glimt in the final.
Stop it. That would be awful. No, I don't think you can rule out Lazio in this, who we haven't mentioned at all. They're a fine side. Yeah, it probably is going to be Graham. Man United are going to stink it up, aren't they?
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it would be great to see Athletic come in the final. As you said, it would be a home thing for them. So them against Frankfurt, I think that'll be a cracking final.
Well, now, I can't see beyond now Man United getting there. They'll have sacked Amorim about 2 weeks before, and they'll have a caretaker manager. Who's going to be their caretaker manager for this final?
Who's left? I don't know. Because, I mean, if they sacked Amorim, they'll have to take all of his backroom staff, wouldn't they? Because, yeah. I mean, he brought... So it will be the under-19 coach or something like that, whoever that is.
No, they'll have Van Nistelrooy back, of course, won't they, by
then?
Oh,
stop. Oh, yeah, of course. Yes, yeah. That's fresh from having relegated Leicester. Yeah. And you'll come in to win. Oh, my God, that's going to happen, isn't it? Oh, no!
So there you have it. Van Nistelrooy going to be caretaker manager of Man United in Bilbao when they face Bodeglimt in the final and win on penalties. After a 4-4, after the worst 4-4 you've ever seen in your life.
Yep, that's going to happen. I'm going to rush down to the bookies right now and do that. Put a bet on that.
See, listeners, this is why we don't make predictions on this podcast, even though we do. We don't make predictions on this podcast because we hate seeing what the future holds. If we could see what the future holds, we'd just give up on football, I think. That's the whole thing about it, really. Anyway. All this football will be done in the next few days. By the time you listen to this podcast, it may already be done. So sorry about that, listeners, if you decide to listen to your podcast on Friday morning or at the weekend after it comes out on Tuesday. But that's where we are at this time on a Monday evening. But what will we be watching next weekend, I wonder? Well, next weekend is Easter. So it's a long holiday weekend over in the UK. We get Friday and Monday off, and we get lots and lots of football to watch. There's two rounds of championship taking place, and I might extend the box set out to Monday to put in Burnley's game against Sheffield United. Jan, Sheffield United, they've proper shot themselves in the foot now, haven't they? But this game coming up on Easter Monday against Burnley, is that their last chance to try to get that automatic place?
I think so, yeah. They've lost the last three. They lost their last game against the bottom club, Plymouth. So it just feels like the wheels are coming off for Sheffield United at the moment. They're behind Burnley. If they lose that, it's game over. They're going to be in the playoffs where they will knock Sunderland out. That's my prediction. Ooh. Whether it's in the semis or the final, it's just, you know.
Horrific predictions.
Horrific predictions.
As I've said, I don't want to get promoted.
Well, yeah, it's true. There's also Women's Champions League. I'll be going on to the Emirates on Saturday lunchtime to watch Arsenal versus Lyon, which I don't think is going to end well. But I'll be cheering on the Arsenal women and hoping that they go into the second league with some hope rather than just being 4-0 down after it. And Barcelona versus Chelsea, that's on Sunday evening. That, I think, is going to be a cracking game to watch. That'll be on at 5 o'clock on your Easter Sunday. But if you want to see all of the games that we pick to take you from Friday to Easter Monday, then get along to SOF Podcast, click on the link for the weekend box set, and subscribe, and it will be in your inbox on Friday lunchtime. Hopefully. It might be a bit earlier this week because obviously it is a bank holiday, so might get it in there a bit earlier. And yeah, that's on our Substack. So if you have Substack already, then just have a look on there. Have a look for the Sound of Football weekend box set and add it on there as well. But that is all we have time for this week. So we're just going to go off and have some hot cross buns, hide our Easter eggs. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton and from Terry DeVellon, it's goodbye.
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 Get in touch with us on Blue Sky or Instagram, where we are at Sound of Football, or go to sofpodcast.com. Like us, share us, rate us and review us. Do it now! JJ Watt.
Hmm?
JJ Watt.
JJ Watt, thank you. Yes. Yeah, who is an American football player of some considerable standing, or was anyway. May still be, I don't know.
12-year career at the Houston Texans and Arizona. Arizona. Mm. Sorry, the news feed just went to dot, 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 same. Yeah.
I'm talking about American football here. No, okay. I'm bored with it already.
We are now officially not going anywhere with this topic. Yeah. Grant can't even be asked to click on the more bit to find out who the what the
Arizona. The Arizona Moors.
We're not going anywhere with this. This is not a topic of discussion.